Welcome to Talk Nation Radio, a half-hour discussion of politics as if the people mattered. I'm David Swanson.
I'm currently on a book tour around the United States and hope to see you. Find the schedule of my events at warisalie.org. It's my great privilege to welcome to Talk Nation Radio this week John Hanrahan. John is currently on the editorial board of Expose Facts at exposefacts.org, which I should mention is a organization that rootsaction.org, which I work for, has worked in collaboration with. John Hanrahan is a former executive director of the Fund for Investigative Journalism and a reporter for The Washington Post, The Washington Star, UPI, and other news outlets. He also has extensive experience as a legal investigator. Hanrahan is the author of Government by Contract and co-author of Lost Frontier, The Marketing of Alaska. He has written extensively for NiemannWatchdog.org, a project of the Nieman Foundation for Journalism at Harvard University. John Hanrahan, welcome to Talk Nation Radio.
Well, thank you. I'm very happy to be here.
Glad to have you on, and a fascinating topic we have to discuss, which is coming out of a couple of lengthy articles that you've just published at truthout.org about the online activist group Avaaz and its push for essentially for war, and specifically for no-fly zones, first in Libya and then in Syria. First of all, just a basic idea, what is Avaaz?
Well, it's Avaaz is an organization that's based in New York. It has over 43 million members worldwide. In fact, its membership in the United States is only roughly 2.5 million. So it portrays itself as a worldwide advocacy organization that launches a lot of campaigns. And I should add in here, I would count myself as one of the 43 million members, or they count me as one of them. Anybody who has ever signed one of their petitions, and they've grown by incredible leaps and bounds by piggybacking. Somebody sends you a petition, four people sign it, and then you're on their list. They've had a number of, before we get to the no-fly zone, they've had a lot of what I would consider very good, admirable petitions, which I'm sure that I signed some of them myself, including ones that supported U.S. government whistleblowers, including Chelsea Manning and Edward Snowden. And they were one of the big organizers for the People's Climate March in September 2014. They recently had a petition that called on members of the European Parliament and leaders of the United States, United Kingdom, Canada, Germany, and France to suspend all arms deals with Saudi Arabia until they end their assault in Yemen and begin a genuine peace process. And in fact, European Parliament did call for such an embargo. Now it's up to the various nations to try to implement that. I only say that by way of that maybe I was a little not paying close enough attention, but I was startled, I guess, to see last June this full-page ad in the New York Times sponsored by Avaaz, which called for a no-fly zone in Syria, and they were running it simultaneously with an online campaign, which the New York Times ad called more on President Obama, but the online campaign called on several leaders to do this, and they had gathered well over a million signatures to support this no-fly zone. And I should say, when you go to their website, they don't sort of feature this. You know, the opening page, the home page doesn't, feature this as one of their main campaigns. You have to do a little searching around. I frankly don't ever recall getting such a petition from them. But in any event, it's this seemed to me, and probably to other people, so out of sync with how they were otherwise portraying themselves as a progressive organization that was sending out petitions to people worldwide, organizing against AIPAC in Washington, doing prominent things in the BDS movement in London. So there was a lot to recommend them. and their biggest membership, as I said, the United States is only 2.5 million. There's a number of other countries where they have, I'd have to look up the figures, but it seemed to be in Brazil there were over 8 million members. Germany had, I think, roughly the same as the United States. And until I started doing a little research on them, I had always assumed they were based somewhere else, like London, because they do have, you know, probably hundreds of petitions a year, only a fraction of which really apply to the United States. Or our foreign policy in other countries, or militarism in other countries.
It seems to me, John, that when individuals and organizations generally tend to be for peace and occasionally back what they think of as a good humanitarian war, in many cases I could name in terms of Libya 2011 or Syria more recently or other examples, most peace advocates, most peace activists somehow avoid ever finding out that these individuals or organizations have backed wars and think of them as purely for peace, as good progressive groups. I mean, there are exceptions. I think when Amnesty International put up big ads in Chicago at the NATO meeting praising NATO's war in Afghanistan, a lot of people found out and raised hell, but it seems to be the exception. When you talk to people about Avaaz, Are they shocked and scandalized to hear that Avaaz promotes wars?
I think a lot of people that I have talked to, yes, were. I mean, you know, in some ways we treat this probably too casually. I mean, we see a good petition and we sign it and don't look behind closely at what the organization has stood for in other cases. As I say, if you go on their homepage, you'll see a lot of very meritorious campaigns. But yes, to answer your question, a lot of people said, well, yeah, I've signed their petition before. I didn't know. I thought a lot of people told me they thought it was an overseas organization, too, because it just because of the nature of some of the petitions that they received. But it does make you wonder. As I said, I readily signed a lot of these before. Since then, I've not been signing them. I don't know exactly what I've seen. You know, various bloggers online, some who said, you know, you really cannot sign another one of their petitions because what is their agenda? I guess is the question, and I'm wrestling with that one myself. What is their agenda here?
But to be out of their so-called membership, you probably have to unsubscribe, not just stop signing.
That's right. Yeah, no, you do. I mean, you sign one. They inform you at the bottom of each petition they send that you, when you signed your first petition. So they have and I suspect, you know, most groups do, they have a record of what you have signed and could probably then tailor what petitions they send to you. And perhaps my signing and some of the other people who were so shocked were ones that they had categorized as being peace people rather than humanitarian interventionist, so-called.
John Hanrahan, one further problem with these no-fly zones for Libya and Syria is that some people don't recognize that as a pro-war measure. In fact, Avaaz and others have started using the phrase safe zone, which sounds lovely and comforting. Can you briefly explain what a no-fly zone is?
Well, the no-fly zone, and you're probably more of an expert on this than I would ever be, but that it's essentially to I fall back, I guess, on the three generals of the U.S. military that I quote in the article, who warned that because it does have such a benign sound to it. You know, you just sort of fly some airplanes over and you keep opponents' planes out of the air, and they can't do damage to civilians on the ground. Instead, and this was a little bit of an education for me, too, to see retired four-star General Carter Ham, who was the former commander of the U.S. Africa Command, who oversaw U.S. military enforcement of the Libya no-fly zone. So, generals are no shrinking violets when it comes to, you know, waging war and dropping bombs or shooting down planes. And he said, I worry sometimes that when people say impose a no-fly zone, there was this almost antiseptic view that this is an easily accomplished military task. It's extraordinarily difficult. Having overseen imposing a no-fly zone in Libya, a force that is vastly inferior in air forces and air defenses to that which exists in Syria, it's a pretty high-risk operation. It first entails, we should make no bones about it, it first entails killing a lot of people and destroying the Syrian air defenses and those people who are manning these systems, and that it entails destroying the Syrian air force, preferably on the ground, in the air if necessary. This is a violent combat action that results in lots of casualties and increased risk to our own personnel. And there's a couple of other generals who have made similar statements, including NATO's current Supreme Allied Commander and then former Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Martin Dempsey. So these are these are acts of war. These are violations of the territorial integrity or sovereignty of a country. These are not, Abbas and some of the other advocates just make them sound like a walk in the park. You just go there and you fly some airplanes over and you have no problem after that. You're protecting civilians. And Abbas kept pushing this position even after the Russians entered with their planes late last summer, I guess it was. Abbas sort of doubled down on it, saying this was even more of a reason to have a no-fly zone. The Russians were in there, seeming ready to provoke an even bloodier conflict there. Generals saying this, I don't ordinarily agree with what generals say, but they are about waging war, killing people, et cetera. And when the generals even say, this is not a good idea, you would think that people who advocate this would sit up and take notice. And one of my complaints with Avaz is that in the materials they did send out with their petition, they present no warnings whatsoever of this sort. I mean, even for those who might say, we've got to get more we've got to protect those civilians. But if they say, but you know, you can kill a hell of a lot of civilians too in the process of this, they make, when I queried Avaz about this, and they were very reluctant to answer any of my questions and answered only a few of them, but on this question, they said, well, we do provide a lot of links to online to places that do raise or do list a variety of viewpoints. Well, I looked at all those links, and they don't. They say nothing about these generals' warnings or other experts' warnings that this is a terrible and risky thing to do. So sort of rambled on that question, but it is something that they just have not been straightforward with, and it's almost like a disguise. This is a easy, wonderful thing to do. What they have done, as I mentioned in the or dwell on, I guess, in the articles, was that because some of their members spoke back to them about it, they put up a couple of different Q&As at different times during the Libya back in 2011-2012. And then last summer regarding Syria, that purported to answer the some of these questions and concerns about people, but they claim to question a lot of experts, but they don't name who they are. And Abbas, from the personnel, they're primarily not activists that started the organization. I mean, there were people who had overseas experience. Some of them now are, as we might mention later, one who's later became a congressman and is now with the State Department, one of their founders, Tom Perriello, and another fellow named Tom Pravda, who is the unpaid treasurer, is currently with the British Foreign Office. So they come at this from a more point of view of officialdom, I would say, albeit with some other good programs, good campaigns. The problem is, though, as I think with myself, who's usually more skeptical than I was with Avaz, after a while, when you sign a lot of good petitions, you realize they're solid, they've got a lot of good information behind them, as you said, that the Roots Action would be a prime example, that you say, if they propose it, and it's probably pretty good. And in none of, I shouldn't say in none of their other campaigns, I don't know, because I don't, you know, read, I should point out that this is more geared to petitions that somehow or originate or affect the United States, because they have a Russian, a lot of Russian petitions. I have no idea what they're saying on those. They could be advocating for NATO to go in and attack them. I have no idea. But from the U.S. ones, the ones that are in English, they usually are, other than in these instances, are not advocating for violent actions. So they build up a certain degree of trust over the years. And sort of, if Avaz says, their emotion is just palpable in some of these things, that if you know, we've got to do something. People, civilians are being killed over there. Why are we just standing here doing nothing? We've got to do something. Let's bomb them. And it's very, you know, you can see that they're just very frustrated by this activity, and they even sometimes pay lip service. We're usually nonviolent, but in this case, there's no other solution. And of course, if this doesn't work, what's next then? Drones or other bombing? I'm being facetious there, but that's what could come about.
We're speaking with John Hanrahan from Exposed Facts and other organizations about his articles in truthout.org, and we will have them linked at talknationradio.org. John, I'm, of course, familiar with Tom Perriello, who was my congressman here in Virginia and a real lover of war, who backed every war dollar he could get his hands on, has been pushing wars ever since being voted out as well. It's worth pointing out that acts of war and murderous acts like imposing no-fly zones in Libya and Syria are actually criminal activity as well, that groups like Avaz are promoting blatant violation of the UN Charter, of the Kellogg-Briand Pact, of the sovereignty of the nation involved. ISIS, of course, doesn't have airplanes. This is not about taking on the enemy that the U.S. public has come to know and hate. It's about taking on the enemy that the United States government prioritizes, and that is overthrowing the government of Syria. So Avaz has been, as you document, pushing the unsubstantiated and very dubious claims about chemical weapons use in Syria 3 years ago, and had been for some time cameras and so-called journalists in and out of Syria, and promoting all of that anti-Assad propaganda without, correct me if I'm wrong, without ever mentioning that anybody on any other front in Syria was killing or injuring anyone at all.
You can spot a phrase here and there, and usually it's when they also call for diplomacy in Syria. They sort of ride two horses at once, and when they're calling for diplomacy, they'll use some phrase like violence on all sides. But overwhelmingly, you're absolutely right. They as I try to say in the article, this isn't a question of who's the most evil and who's killing the most people, but rather the type of information and propaganda that Avaz is promoting, is promulgating here. And you mentioned Tom Perriello. Avaz was really reluctant to answer most of my questions, but there were, I guess, three that they sort of answered directly. The others they sort of answered obliquely. But one was about a lot of bloggers online who have pointed to George Soros as a early funder of Avaz as being, as having some sort of continuing influence on the organization. He did his Open Society Society Foundation or its predecessor did give them about $1.1 million in their initial years, 2007 to 2010. So the question they answered with him was, we have received no money from George Soros or his foundation in any form since 2009, I guess they say. One of the other questions they did answer was on Tom Perriello, and they said he has had absolutely no involvement with the organization since 2009, late 2009. He was already in his first year in Congress then, so I don't know if he continued on the as board while still in Congress, but they, in any event, they said that he had no influence on their decisions regarding Syria or Libya no-fly zones. What I say in the article is that, but his certainly the Perriello spirit is there. Perriello wrote this really, as I say, creepy article in a, what is the publication? I'm trying to even remember the publication, but in which he says things like, and I'll just quote from that, we must realize that force is only one element of a coherent national security strategy and foreign policy. We must accept the reality, whether or not one accepts its merits, that other nations are more likely to perceive operatives to be self-interested than values-based. But in a world where egregious atrocities and grave threats exist, and where Kosovo and Libya have changed our sense of what's now possible, the development of the next generation of power can be seen as a historically unique opportunity to reduce human suffering.
He even wrote an article in which he praised the 2003 Iraq War as a model for future wars. If it had been done slightly better, there were errors in the execution. You know, let me ask you just very very briefly, because I want to get to something else before we run out of time. Has Avaz commented in any way since the creation of the disaster in Libya that Samantha Power has said, don't look at Libya, so you'll be willing to bomb Syria. What has Avaz said, if anything?
No, that is one of the questions and follow-up questions that I posed to them. You know, did you, and I phrased it more diplomatically, but didn't the Libya experience chasten you at all about advocating for a no-fly zone in Syria? And I got back this answer, which was sort of saying, don't look back, look ahead. They sort of shifted the blame to their members, like these things bubble up from the members rather than New York staff people promulgate some petition. But they sort of said that, no, you're asking a question about something happened in the past, which we are not applying to the future. I'm slightly misquoting what they said, but the gist of it was these are two different things.
Yeah, we should.
No, you don't learn from your past. And I was interested to note that that Bernie Sanders, a couple of times, including the past debate, did raise no-fly zone. Hillary Clinton defended it, but that the moderators, the questioners, never ask any follow-up, such as you asked earlier, what about a no-fly zone? What's
right.
Good about it? What's bad about it? Why, not even that. So it sort of breezes to the top, and I dare say a lot of people are somewhat mystified by what is a no-fly zone.
And Hillary still says Obama was wrong not to heavily bomb Syria in 2013, so we know where she's coming from and what she cares about the fate of Syria. But before we run out of time, you mentioned Roots Action, which I work for, and RootsAction.org was created to be an alternative to groups like Avaz and like MoveOn.org, which played such a role in creating Avaz, and websites like WhiteHouse.gov gov, which puts your name on a list for whichever big political party is controlling the White House at the moment. I mean, we tell people, don't do your do-it-yourself petitions at these sites. Don't sign the big petitions at these sites. Sign them and make them at rootsaction.org, because you'll be part of a movement that never backs wars, doesn't just have some good petitions and some bad ones, has only good petitions, and we'll never use your name to, you know, to raise corporate funds or promote horrible things. You know, you'll be part of a better movement. Is that smart, or are we being sort of selfish and self-promotional? Should we sign the good of us petitions and not the bad ones? What do you recommend?
Yeah, well, I would have, you know, if I'd been asked this question about a year ago, I would have said, Abbas has some really good petitions out there, and we should sign them. Now, as I said, since then, I continue to receive their emails just because I want to see what they might be up to. But I would generally recommend not to sign their petitions. I know the problem, I think, that some other very good groups that I know have, and on some occasions, worked in a coalition with Abbas, and I think that's always a difficult thing for those organizations to navigate, I think. But from my own point of view, I'm personally not going to be signing them, and I'm going to, you know, tell other people through this article and other ways not to sign them. But it's ultimately, I'm copping out. Ultimately, it's up to the individual to see how, if they think they can somehow be effective with Abbas. But I agree with what you said.
Well, and if there's a good idea for a petition and you can't find it somewhere you want to sign it, you can create it yourself at diy.rootsaction.org, and Roots Action will help you promote it.
On this score, if you have just 30 seconds, back in August of 2013, when it looked like Obama was going to unleash holy hell on Syria, the group, what is it called, Just Foreign Policy, started a do-it-yourself petition with a couple of other people, I think, and I think they may have started it on Abbas, but they called on Abbas to, you know, please send this out to all your members, you know, worldwide, we can get millions of signatures. When they sent that out, it was like September 5th, and Abbas didn't respond, but what, it was only two or three days later that it became moot, I guess, for the time being. But they were not pushing Obama on a road to peace back then. They just ignored the issue. So anyway, it's... when I found that out, I was even more chagrined that this was a group whose petitions I'd been signing for years.
Well, I appreciate, and I hope our listeners appreciate you opening eyes to the dangers of a group like Abbas, and people can act accordingly. John Hanrahan with ExposeFacts.org and numerous other great organizations on your resume, and we will link to these articles at truthout.org. Thank you very much for coming on Talk Nation Radio.
Thank you very much.
This is Talk Nation Radio. I'm David Swanson. I'm traveling around the United States right now doing events with my new book, War is a Lie, second edition. I hope to see you. Find the schedule of events at warisalie.org. Take action at rootsaction.org. Help end war at worldbeyondwar.org. All past shows can be heard at davidswanson.org. Talk Nation Radio is produced in Charlottesville, Virginia, and syndicated by Pacifica Network. If you are listening to a nonprofit station, please support that station. Talk Nation Radio is funded by contributors at davidswanson.org. There is no way to peace. Peace is the way. Until next time.